Hello coaches, it's Stuart here, the proud founder of Football DNA. And today we're delighted to bring you episode 2 of our podcast in 2024. Today we are joined by Pavel, who is a specialist in coaching children 5 to 12. And we will be looking at how you can coach your players in the under 9 to under 12 age group. Pavel is joined by our host and West Ham United Academy coach, Ross Brooks. Let's get straight into it.
Hi there, it's Ross here from Football DNA, and I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast by Pavel Guzheko, who's got over 20 years in experience in coaching. He's an author, he's a coach and a coach educator, and we're here today. We're going to be talking around coaching within the foundation phase age groups, which is 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age. So welcome to the podcast, Pav.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for having me, Ross.
Great stuff. So just to begin, really, obviously, I've given you a bit of an intro, but it'd be great to hear a little bit more around your coaching journey and how you've got up to this point now where you're currently working at Cambridge United.
I guess probably the time we have would be enough, so I try to be brief. Obviously, I finished my master's degree in Poland, which I'm originally from, an Academy of Physical Education. And since then, I spent 7 years working in the United States in various schools and clubs over there. And then further on, 8 years working for Football Association as an FA skills coach and a coach educator. And then another 5 or 6 years in 3 professional clubs, which I've been involved, Ipswich, Norwich, and currently in Cambridge United as a foundation phase coach and why. And youth development phase coach. And that's as short as I could do. Aside of it, I run my own program. And I'm also an author, as you know. I write a few books, mainly for passion, not for economical reasons yet.
No, that's fantastic. And I mean, the experiences that you bring around working with children in these age groups, I'm really looking forward to talking to you and taking, I'm sure, plenty of points that I can go away from my own coaching. And for those that are listening as well, I'm sure there'll be lots of great things that Pav mentioned. So to begin really then, can you give us a bit of an overview around what it is that you coach when you're working within the foundation phase? I know that's a really broad topic, but how would you sort of summarize how you approach your coaching?
Over the years, I learned that it's all about learning. And how children that we come to work with are actually learn and perceive the information and how they see the game on their own in the first place. So how they might interpret the situation. So the first, and I think the most important thing for me is the learning and where are they, on what stage learning they might be at. So for that reason, you need to spend a lot of time observing kids playing and then get your conclusions where to start your teaching or coaching rather than just throw in the topic and everything else in it. Because then it gives you an insight how best to tailor to your own coaching tools and teaching to those individuals. Because working with young players is all about the individual. I think that's the role of us as coaches or coach developers. And for me, is the three key points. Once I know how they learn and what they are about and their personalities, then obviously the first thing is the engagement. It's really important how you engage with kids. If you're not engaged well, then obviously I don't think you can be effective in what you do. Secondly is observation. So I spend a lot of time observing compared to probably majority coaches spend a lot of time coaching. And I try to make that balance. And over the years, I spent a lot more observing, probably around 60 to 70% of my coaching is observing. And then only 30% of that session is actually tailor my coaching to what I saw. And then based on that, I prepare demonstrations, my interventions, coaching interventions around it that actually bring the value to the player's learning because of my observation and notes I take in every single session. So how they learn is number one. Engagement is then number two. Observing is number three. And number four is everything else with it, which is me stepping on the grass, you know, and try to help the player when the help is needed. So I think that's the four key elements that I learned over the years through my mistakes, which I'm still doing because obviously everybody's learning.
No, that's fantastic. And yeah, I think, you know, being open around, actually, you know what, even with all this experience, we're still making mistakes and we're still learning, I think is a great message to have, particularly when you prioritize that learning with the children that you're working on, right? So being open to learn as a coach and take on that information and try and develop yourself is really important if you're then sort of trying to embed those values when you're supporting those young people too. Just around the observation skills then. So I'm really intrigued by that, because that's something obviously when we have a more traditional view of coaching, it's very much around the coach stopping the session and putting their ideas on the children and really being sort of more the teacher of that. So what's made you prioritize observations as a coach? Has that always been something that you've looked into?
Yes, obviously experience, Ross. So over the years, through my mistakes coaching young people, you obviously have to learn from those mistakes. And most people focus on the topic of the session or the curriculum. Are we going to deliver this today? Because that's what curriculum asks us to do. But I think is other way around. It's about individuals that stay in front of me and where they are at the learning journey and when they're at their experience in playing football and what do they know. And from then, obviously, the framework we have, we can apply based on what we see and where they are at. And that was the main reason for it. I think if I don't understand the learning process and we don't understand the kids and their learning and their development, then it's very difficult, I think, to be effective in any teaching profession, because I think football is teaching profession. So I make the notes. I start and make notes every session about kids. And obviously in professional clubs, you have videos recorded, which is it's even easier for coaches to go back and look. On the grassroots level, you don't necessarily have that opportunity. So therefore, a pen and a note and more a traditional way is still a great way of doing things and just basically writing stuff, what you learned today about each kid. And then imagine them doing that just for a year. So you have a notebook full of information about the kids. And I think based on that, that's where your coaching starts, not other way around. My experience taught me that now I prepare an intervention based on my observations. I prepare the demonstrations based on my information I have through observation. I written down the potential mistakes that kids might make during the session. And that helped me to intervene when I need it. And also, obviously, communication and language is, if I learned through experience that an observation that if my intervention is more than 20 seconds, then I really don't know what I'm intervening about. It has to be short, brief, simple, step in, step out. Kids doesn't want to listen to us. They're here to come play football, to learn. And I don't think anybody learning one day stood still and listening. And that's, again, part of the observation, learning and experience and mistakes I've done in the past. So when you sometimes stop and you just, you know, intervening longer than 45 seconds, then I think it's far too long. If you get sharp, short with the same messages, based on observations you have, based on your notes you have, I think you, again, became much more effective coach at what you do.
Well, that's fantastic. Some brilliant points here. I'm writing lots of notes down. And I think one of the tips definitely could be for coaches coming away from this chat would be around how people make notes during the sessions, and actually creating opportunities to observe when delivering can be a really good opportunity for you to make notes, whether that's in a pad, whether it's a mental note, whether it's a voice note, of just detailing what it is that you're seeing and then using those observations to be informed around how you're intervening. I think that's a real skill. So that'd be certainly something to encourage coaches at whatever the level to go away from. And you also touched on one of those key points for you around what it is and how you coach within these age groups around engagement. So could you give us an example of what that would look like? How would you engage with children of these age groups?
I think it's a very simplistic stuff. A smile and high five, say hello, have a chat, how's school, just learn about people you're working with. Again, through my experience, a lot of all of this is all about football, football, football. Did you watch this game? Who you support? Which is okay, it's important. But I think other side of it is really important too. So the engagement is the simplistic way that people connect with each other. Mm. And the connection with the kids has to be on that personal level to build a good relationship so they can trust you and they can come to you with any bits they need. that they know they can chat with you openly, that they know that they that you're there for them when they need it. And I think that's basic engagement is a lot of people probably not, maybe I wouldn't say not appreciate it, but maybe take for granted. Yeah. But I think that is the simplest way of connect and engage. And I think without engagement with group of children, I don't think you have a good chance to be an effective teacher. What I mean by effective is they actually learn. I don't think kids will learn from people they don't like. I just don't think that's the case. And sooner you recognize that, then better. It doesn't mean you have to be always, you know, not demanding or not fair or things like that. No, I think, but engagement in that sense for me is just the simplest way of smile, high five, how's the school, have a chat. You know, the good example of is when you're in the bus journey sometimes, you know, and most coaches sitting in front of the bus. But when you sit at the back, you see a lot of stuff going on, who's engaged with who, who's talking with who. And you can chat with kids as well about the school, what they're doing, some reading books, some stay on their phones because that's where we are these days. But again, it's a continuous learning about people you're working with. And yep. Football for me is not maybe a second, but it is not priority in that sense. The priority, know as much as I can about the kids, and then I believe I can make a difference on the football pitch.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I think that's really powerful. And having seen you work, the calmness and your manner, I've seen you do those high fives and those big smiles and be really playful with the kids. And I can certainly see that the children really enjoy it when you're working with them as well. And I think building on this then, so you touched on a framework for when you're sort of delivering, so not being necessarily fixed to a session plan and actually adapting and tailoring your session to what it is that you feel those individuals need. So I suppose when you're working with children of these age groups, can you give some examples around the sorts of things coaches might consider in practice design and what sorts of practices you would encourage going with?
So I'll back to what I said before. How well do you know your players, and do you know where they are at the learning? There are three stages of learning, in my view, in every session and every group you have. There will be some kids who, for instance, on the grassroots level, they're completely novice. They just not know much about it. They don't have experience. So they at the beginning of the journey. So they in the learning stage of anything. Then you will have kids who I say they are on. They passed that, and now they on the a second learning stage when they understand football a little bit. They have those experiences. They play the game for, let's say, a year. So they definitely on a different learning stage than those novices. And then the last one might be the kids who are on performing stage in a sense that they understand the game situation, know how to solve that problem already. So these are the three different areas that in every age group you will have kids like that. And then you need to design the training in a way that provide direct feedback to the players, which means is designed for their learning rather than around the topic or curriculum. And therefore, the feedback from the session will be direct to the players and also direct to the coach, which means when you design the session right, you will need to interview less and you will need to demonstrate stuff less because the training design give the framework that the kids already learning what you want them to learn. And I think that's the important part. And when you mention the framework, again, I think this has to be tailored to who's in front of us and how the learning is fit into it. So the example might be, let's say there's a kid who, well, let's say we're teaching a 1v1 defending. And then obviously there's a broad spectrum of and a lot of details in it. But let's say if there is a child who understands how to close the space down, then most coaches in them will be put the design session, put everybody in the same bracket and do 1v1 defending with all of them. But this particular kid, he's already know how to close the space down. So he doesn't need that part. But he might not necessarily understand when to slow down and when to go and win the ball back. So your coaching for this particular kid starts from this moment, as opposed to we're going to have to do close the space down too. He doesn't need that. And that's the differentiation that comes with experience. But I think it comes from understanding learning. Because if you don't, then I don't think experience will help you either. You got to understand the learning process, where the kids are at in every single stage of their development. And from then, the framework is very useful, because I think framework is needed. I think some sort of curriculum framework is needed for us coaches to adhere to something, but we need to adapt that to the needs of the kids that come to our sessions.
And I guess that review in the session that you're doing, but also post the session, and then how you revisit topics and revisit the work from one session to the next is really important, right? So if you're noticing this individual who's really good on his 1v1 defending is closing down the space, but you're still not feeling he's getting that timing right, how you then revisit that maybe in this next session or a couple of sessions later can help you to layer that. Is that kind of the approach you'd go around sort of trying to build up to that point?
Yes. So what you describe basically, so my experience in working with a lot of different type of coaches, which I learn a lot from, and I'm very grateful for their time when they be with me and teach me and things like that. But over the 20 years, there's a one conclusion I have. Why do we focus on topic and why do we focus on progressions within a session as opposed to who is in front of us? Again, learning needs to be linked with each other. So if your learning aim is 1v1 defending, then you got to revisit that, because in our memory, in the children's memory, this needs to be revisited. This needs to be consolidated. So there has to be every session, every learning aim has to be linked. So if you've got 10 weeks or whatever, I don't believe that you can make a difference in a 6 weeks time and then change everything around, unless it's linked with the previous learning. Because the you know, in our brain, we have a working memory and we have a deep memory. And in the working memory, if you're just starting to changing stuff every single time, then the good example is this is a game. So Monday, I play this game when kids already know, but then the next Tuesday, I'll change the game completely. So we took 20 minutes of kids' time. They're learning the game first, but they're not learning the learning game of the game. So the 20 minutes is gone because it's not linked what you've done a week before. So now, through my experience and a lot of mistakes, I did learn that I don't need millions of games or progressions. I just need to make sure the training design is effective for the kids I'm working with. So I have a framework for a game, and then I develop that game and tweak only the challenges and tasks and constraints within that game. And it's proven to be work a tree magic. And I can see through my experience the learning process going on, the kids getting better. Why? Because the link is there through their working and through the deep memory. Because the biggest enemy of learning is forgetting stuff. Yeah. We forgot stuff. You know, the good example of it is you go to when you go to a shopping or Christmas, whatever, and you have to do that list, what you need to buy. Imagine you forget that list. There is no chance you remember everything you need to buy. And that's how learning is done. And I believe through my experience, a lot of coaching misinterpreted learning with performing, learning with curriculum, learning with topics. These all are relevant if you're not understanding the learning process itself.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And that's why I've made my own list here as you're speaking, so I can make sure I capture everything that you're saying and all these nuggets that you're giving. So I think that's a really good point that you make as well around sticking to core practices, right? And actually, as a coach, not being afraid to deliver the same practice, but just making those slight adaptations. I think from experience, like yourself, and I find that too now, that I've now got a bank of practices and games that I know I feel really work to the age groups that we're working with. And I can just make slight alterations based on the individual players and how the group's getting on. And I think not having to reinvent the wheel each time can really help grassroots coaches. So I think the message out there is if you feel you've got 3 or 4 games that are really working, keep delivering them, but just keep making those changes based on what you feel the children need. And I think you've touched on it quite a bit. I think the review process that you speak on to document those points that you've and of those observations can really be helpful from to guide you from one session to the next. Because it's quite easy, isn't it? If you've got a week between your sessions, you might think, oh wow, they did brilliantly on these things. I really need to help them work on these things. And then you get round to next week and then you're scratching your head thinking, oh, I haven't got any ideas tonight. What are we going to do? But just documenting that and doing a bit of a hot review of your session there and then having a cold review the next day to document your thoughts can be really helpful to support your coaching and the children you're working with. So I suppose to finish then, Pav, I mean, really, you've touched on some great stuff. I mean, the learning process, I think, is a massive thing that you speak about. And that's obviously one of those key points around your coaching. But what else have your experiences taught you that you feel could really benefit those that are listening today?
I think as coaches, we have to look ourselves as a teaching profession. We teach football, so we teach people to play better or grow as a human and then as a young footballer, if you like, or as a child. My first thing is speak less and listen more. The good example of that is when coaches do the review in the end of it and they're asking these group questions, which I'm not no big fan anymore. But you better listen very carefully if you ask the question what the children say to you, because that's exactly what they learned. We always expecting, you know, the answers we got in our head. Let's say we're working on creating space, whatever, yeah? And then we ask, we're waiting for someone, just tell me that this is, yeah, we create.
Reaffirm me, myself.
Yeah, confirm right that. But listen, same with teenage age, listen to players what they say to you, because that's what they learn. Because kids will learn anyway. It's not always they learn what we think they should be learning. So that's one thing. The second I would say is plan your demonstrations and plan your interventions. And above all, play and play a lot with these age groups and generally with players, everybody. But play with purpose. And what I mean by that is be the balance between free play because children need that. And I think bringing the street football to kids is absolutely crucial to do that. But then when you play a little bit more structured play, then have an idea and learning came with that game. What is it the game try to achieve for those group of kids is important. And the third thing I would say is coach less directly within the group and observe more from it what's going on in your session. Because then you will really learn a lot about the children you're coaching at the level they are at and what they like and what the learning behavior they present. And having that, I don't think it's take too much time to make a note. So you can have 10 minutes of each of your sessions, step back and make a note about children. And I think coaches should not be afraid that someone's looking and or thinking he's not coaching. He goes, what is he doing? Or what she's doing? Yeah, well, he's got a pen. He looks like a professor on the sideline with the pen and notes. But you don't need to please those people. You don't need. Your main people are these young players in front of you. You don't need to please your chairman. You don't need to please parents. You don't need to please your head of coaching, whoever that is. It's you and the players. And players are the most important when you spend the hour with them. And I can guarantee it works really well because you will learn a lot about the kids. And like I said before, that 1 year of making notes, you make a good habit. And that 1 year of making notes is like an open book about you, your children. And I, through my experience, I can assure you this is a great, great, great tool to become a better coach, but to become effective teacher as well.
That's fantastic. Brilliant bits of advice, Pav. I really enjoy speaking with you. I think your passion for coaching and working with these age groups really comes across. And I think you're very clear around your ideas. And I think definitely for those coaches that are listening today, regardless of what level or what stage you're working at, I think there's certainly some actions, if you're not doing it already, that you can hopefully take away from this call. And if you are listening in, we'd love to hear some feedback and be sure to reach out to Pav and check out his books as well. If you haven't already, I think there'd be definitely a, a worthwhile purchase to sort of build on some of the things that Pav's spoken about today. But thank you on behalf of Football DNA for joining us, Pav, and really enjoy speaking with you.
Thank you, Ross, again for having me. And I hope everybody who's listening will take something from it. And again, sorry about my accent, lads and ladies.
Great stuff. Take care. Thank you. Cheers.
Take care. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Football DNA podcast. We hope you found it enjoyable and gained lots of valuable information that you can take into your coaching for the rest of the year. In case you didn't know, we have our own coaching app, Football DNA, which you can download from the App Store or through our website, footballdna.co.uk. Go and check it out to find over 1,000 videos, including top practices, sessions, and full season curriculums from our expert coaches.